You listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Ray Jeezy Will T. There's a technical difficulties. You didn't hear the intro, and you will hear it. Real talk, you will hear it during the posted show, but I'm going to keep it 100. Something's happening with our equipment, so you're not going to hear any beds. You're going to hear us go.
The posted show. This is acapella.
How do rappers do it? Like when they don't have no beat? Acapella. Yeah, exactly. So that's what it is.
8 Mile, Eminem.
Exactly.
He's got a killer line.
Exactly.
F a beat. I go acapella.
Can you make a beat? Can you do it like a little freestyle beat?
Okay.
You listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Come on, you had to like kind of
You got
to
have fun when things don't go right. It's 2018. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bro.
First show of the new year. First show since November, which is amazing because just holidays and travel and some other things. But it's good to be here.
No, it's a pleasure, man. It's great to be here, man. Again, the first show of the new year.
Absolutely.
That means big things popping like T.I.
I'm excited about the show. I got a good vibe right now.
I do too, man.
Because I feel good about, you know, the team that I cheer for in football, the Atlanta Falcons.
I know. Wait.
I like the position that they're in.
You like that?
Not just because Nick Foles is starting. I like the way the defense is
playing.
Because
y'all playing Philadelphia. That's right.
You know,
that's
Todd Gurley, one of the best running backs in the league. Right up there with Zeke at the top of the league. I think Atlanta did an excellent job of containing him. You know, he still rushed for over 100 yards because he broke some big ones. But that's to be expected. He's so powerful, so fast. But they did a good job. But anyway, we'll get there later, I guess, when we talk
NFL playoffs. Yeah, exactly. But no, you know.
I got to show some love, you know.
You got to.
All Falcons.
I'm actually, I tried to feature the Atlanta Falcons on this show. I tried to.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a good new year. I mean, if you think about 2017 for me, it ended off with a bang. I won our pick'em league because you guys had to forfeit.
You know what? Will was waiting for me to pick. That's why he didn't send anything.
That's what I think.
That's why he didn't send anything.
I think so. That's what I think, too.
I just, you know, I was asleep. And I missed it. By the time I woke up, the games had already started. You know, I pulled a Will T. I was asleep.
It's cool. And it works for me.
You know what? I'm kind of glad Will isn't here right now because I got to call him out. Well, one thing is, you know what? He didn't troll me. He didn't troll me about Matt Ryan this weekend.
Oh, he did.
And Alex Smith went home. Now, you notice I didn't say anything. I could have easily sent a text because he's always comparing the two and saying Matt Ryan isn't this. But Matt Ryan won his playoff game on the road against a young up-and-coming Rams team that I like, by the way, you know, moving forward. And the Tennessee freaking Titans, the Music City Miracles, they go into Arrowhead and beat Kansas City, who, of course, choked. Choked away an 18-point lead.
Coaching, Alex Smith didn't play that bad, though, in the game. You know, had
drop. It doesn't matter. Matt Ryan didn't play well in the Super Bowl. I mean, Matt Ryan didn't play bad in the Super Bowl last year, but Will T trolled me on it when he woke up and saw the score, which is interesting in itself. But anyway, sorry, guys. 2018, I'm still on my rant game.
You are on your rant game, man. You can tell it's real. It's real out here, man. But anyway, Will T would say, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. The college football championship game. At 8:20, we'll rank Washington Wizards shooting guard Bradley Beal amongst NBA shooting guards. At 8:30, we'll discuss what it will take for the Washington Redskins to make the playoffs next season. Finally, at 8:40, we'll discuss the NFL playoffs. What's going on, Will T?
How you doing, Will? We were just talking about you.
You right now.
It's good to see you. Happy New Year,
Happy
brother.
New Year, man. We were talking about...
Like, I ain't heard from you, boy. Where you been? He talking about
Matt Ryan.
You ain't trolled me. I was waiting for a Matt Ryan text and an Alex Smith text. You know, I was waiting for. I was like, you know, the trolls sometimes aren't consistent. All my Atlanta trolls. No, I didn't get trolled by nobody.
I don't troll nobody.
I mean, we didn't discuss what we thought about the game.
Not yet.
I actually thought that Atlanta would win that game.
Oh, I'm sure you did. I'm just saying, but if they were lost, I'm sure I would have heard from you.
No, not really.
Not necessarily.
The
Matt Ryan.
I'm giving myself too much credit, huh?
Not the Matt Ryan.
See, you unpredictable. You know, you never know.
No, it's not. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with unpredictable or not. It's when I go on the record and I state that Matt Ryan is going to choke. He usually does that.
Hey, anyway, let's go to the college football game. The championship that happened last night. Alabama defeated Georgia in overtime to win the national championship 26-20. What were your thoughts on the game?
Did you stay?
It was a long game.
I was watching the game.
Okay.
And I felt like Georgia was in control the entire game. Mm-hmm. You got to give credit to Nick Saban for making a quarterback change in that moment. Jalen Hurts had been struggling before this game. Let's be real. All knew that anyway.
Yes.
Alabama, which has a pro-style defense or, I guess, a pro-esque defense. Like, I think Alabama's defense can hang with some NFL teams.
They got that much talent.
I think that they're that a lot good. Of talent. So, you know you're always going to have a chance to win. And when Alabama has a good offense, I mean, a la Derrick Henry – man, it's going to be hard to beat them. So the fact that they had to come back, I felt like that showed just what they're made of, you know, as men and also as coaches. So Nick Saban is – he's the GOAT.
I mean, you take into consideration the things that we saw happen during the game. First, Georgia was up 13-0 going into halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Then you switch to – you make a decision to change to a freshman quarterback.
Tagovailoa. Yeah. I practiced that name.
I was going to say Tua. Then the cameras got a glimpse of a player falling out on the sideline.
Yeah.
And then also you had infighting between I forgot the defensive player's name.
For Alabama?
Yeah.
The dude who had the pick?
Did he take a swing?
I'm not sure.
I missed that.
I'm not sure, but you take all that into consideration.
And the kicker
missing three field goals, and Nick Saban was still found a way to win. That's just amazing. It just goes to speak to why he's the best in college football. Then you take it to like what coach would make that switch? 25 to a freshman.
Your starter is 25-2. That's the thing.
Well, in addition to that, you also playing against a former coach who knows your system very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I think the switch was critical because he knew he was going up against a guy who knew his system backwards and forward mm-hmm. or backwards and front, however you want to say it. So you make a switch to a young lefty and your whole game plan has to change and they couldn't adjust.
Which is amazing. Again,
Georgia can adjust.
And they went to a couple of freshmen. I think Bama played a couple of freshmen. The freshman wide receiver, freshman running back, number 22 who ripped off most of the big runs. And then you got the freshman quarterback. Just to have the guts in a big game like that, it just shows the greatness of as Nick Saban as a coach.
I mean,
they have the guts to go to freshman in a national championship game.
What happens when you don't coach scared? I think a lot of coaches, pro or collegiate, they're so, you know, they get a lead. And then they play to not blow the lead rather than to win. Well, Nick Saban was on the other end where he had to play to win. So he went into it unemotional, saying, okay, this is what we need to do. These are adjustments we need to make. We're going to make it, and we're going to win.
I call Nick Saban the GOAT, but I do think Pete Carroll, if he would stayed in college, I think they'd have been right up there neck and neck.
I don't know
about that one.
This run at like 5 championships in 9 years, this is something Pete Carroll couldn't even do.
I'll say this. You made a fair point, but you know if he had stayed in college, and also you have to couple that with
the recruits.
No, not the recruits. The scandal.
Right. That's the big difference.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Nick Saban hasn't had any scandal since he's been in college football, and he's running college football.
Not yet.
I mean, not yet, but
well, because he probably won't because he knows he's going to get his guys.
Yeah,
he knows I'm going to get the guys I need. If you don't want to come here, quote unquote, 5-star recruit, you want to go play for, you know, let's say your hometown college team. Go ahead, because I know I'm going to get some guys just as good as you because I'm Nick Saban. He has that type of swag when he recruits. He might be a better recruiter than Pete Carroll, but I think again they're about neck and neck when you look at all the aspects of college coaching.
On Twitter, George said Nick Saban needs to have an undefeated national title season to be the GOAT.
Oh,
I mean that's you keep moving the goalposts further and further out. He's already tied Paul Bear Bryant for the most championships in college football. So what he needs is an undefeated season, then you call him the GOAT. Let's stop moving the goalpost out. Let's take appreciation for what he's done. 5 championships in 9 years. In this era where there are far more restrictions on recruiting and also being able to grease the wheel in order to get the players that you want.
5 championships in 9 years and always in contention. Always in contention.
I mean, in hindsight, I wish that Oklahoma made that game. I really do. I think Oklahoma.
You think so?
Oklahoma, if you start that first half with Jalen Hurts against a Baker Mayfield, who against a good college quarterback, I think that it's a different game. But that's all hypothetical.
I think Oklahoma's defense is a little bit easier to do certain things than compared to Georgia.
I still would have liked to see Alabama versus UCF.
You want to see that?
Absolutely.
Because they beat Auburn?
Yes, yeah, because they beat Auburn. I mean, I don't know if anyone paid attention and watched any UCF games this year.
Oh, I haven't. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I watched the game against South Florida. Uh-huh, that's the one. And then I watched the one against Memphis. Uh-huh. And I watched the bowl game against Auburn. UCF is a pretty tough team.
I just think they're smaller than Alabama.
Yeah, they are, but they have the one thing that's always given Nick Saban teams trouble, a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, that always, like, and, you know, to Ray's point, that's why I guess Oklahoma would have been interesting because of Mayfield and because how mobile he is. And we've seen what Johnny Manziel did to Alabama years ago, and he's compared to him a little bit.
You saw what Deshaun Watson did.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, on the flip side, you saw what Bryant couldn't do for Clemson. They're two different. He's a mobile quarterback, but he doesn't have the it factor compared to the quarterbacks we just mentioned. But
I've seen many mobile quarterbacks go up against Alabama. It's a select few,
yeah,
you know, that are extremely talented. Even like DJ Shockley, you know.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he played well against Alabama.
You know, they've been consistent, but again, it's a total team effort. Alabama, man, they play good at every phase. You know, they recruit well. Shout out to Trevon Diggs, DMV, got himself a national championship.
It's crazy. He don't even get that much burn. All he is is a kickoff return.
He's
still young, though.
I don't think he should have went there. He's supposed to go to Maryland.
No. The reason why I say that is it shows how deep Alabama is.
He's supposed to be a terrorist.
That's how deep Alabama is. Like, they recycle talent. Other than the quarterback position, to be honest with you, they're deep in every position.
Yeah, that's the – honestly. If we think about the five championships that Nick Saban has won at Alabama, the one consistent thing about those championship teams is he hasn't had a quarterback, which you would consider a star NFL level quarterback.
John Parker Wilson,
McCarron.
AJ McCarron probably is his best quarterback.
AJ McCarron is probably his best quarterback.
Hurts last year.
Yeah.
Hurts. No,
I'm just saying, like, he doesn't care about having a quarterback. That's not his priority.
I don't think
it's not his priority compared to other positions. Or maybe the quarterback.
Clemson won last year, though.
Yeah, he's just talking about
the five teams.
Yeah.
John Parker Wilson wasn't bad, though. I mean, he wasn't, again, like you said, a star quarterback.
AJ McCarron probably.
Now, you would think he would be able to recruit a star. I guess quarterbacks don't want to go there thinking it's a graveyard or something.
That's an interesting question. Why hasn't he been able to recruit considered a five-star elite pocket pro-style quarterback?
I just don't think that's his style. I think he recrruits good running backs. He loves the running game. He loves to be tough
because he's old school. Ball control, football, time management, clock management.
He really invests in his defense. He loves his defense, and you can tell by the bodies he brings in and out. Think about the guys he lost last season, and look at the defense he has this season.
Well, you know who probably is kicking himself while they were watching the game? John Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh, excuse me. They play the same type of game. They want to do the same thing essentially on offense and defense, mm-hmm. which is run the ball, be physical, extremely physical defense, get after quarterback. But Jim Harbaugh hasn't been able to translate that with a lot of success at Michigan that everyone thought he would have.
George, we're checking you out on Twitter. Thanks for chiming in. Jalen Hurts is an unbelievable athlete. I don't know if he can be, you know, developed any further as a passer, but if he were to transfer, I think that's the best way to find out. Because at this point, it's going to be pressure from the alumni. It's going to be ongoing discussion about, you know, who should be the starter now. And I think that's going to at the worst case scenario, or at the very least, I think it's going to, you know, hinder Jalen Hurts going forward at Alabama.
I think Jalen Hurts should just go ahead and transfer to Florida Atlantic where Lane Kiffin is at.
Agreed. He just transfer and go over there. It's going to be hard to be out the guy who just won you, who basically in essence just won your national championship.
Yeah, he's proven enough, though.
On one night became a legend.
Yeah, and he's a freshman.
He did what Cordell Jones did at Ohio State.
Yeah. So I don't think you're gonna.
He was garbage though.
But this kid, this kid don't look like he's garbage though.
The kid looked like Steve Young.
Yeah, he looked like Russell Wilson a little bit to me.
Not Pat White. That left hand small.
Oh, Westbrook.
Guy White had a cannon.
He was smaller though. He was like, skinnier. When I mean smaller, he was skinnier. Pat White was fast. That dude is not Pat White fast though. He can throw the rock.
Like I said, I think they just were caught off guard. That's all. Georgia, come on now. It's like anything. If someone throws a curveball, you have to adjust. And I believe that they didn't have enough time in that big moment.
But look at it like this. Nick Saban created a time for his team to adjust during that practice, to run up to the championship, right? Mm-hmm. Just in case we got to switch quarterbacks, let's do this. If you're Kirby Smart, you learned you learned from Nick Saban. So you have a recollection of how he thinks. Mm-hmm. So that I would think that you would say, okay, let's prepare for this scenario. Maybe they go with the backup quarterback because Jalen Hurts hasn't played at the level that everyone thought he would play at.
It just goes back to the point, like you all stated, it just shows the greatness of Nick Saban that you can kind of change it up to a certain extent. You can change it up to a certain extent and say, you know what, this is not working. I'm going with my freshman quarterback. Not a lot of teams do that in a national championship game. So it just shows that, like you said, Will T, there are a lot of coaches. Period. Not just college coaches. A lot of coaches. Period. Won't take that risk and say, you know what, I'm trying to win this game. I ain't worried about anybody's feelings.
Yeah,
that's true.
And that's real talk.
True.
And that's real talk.
I'm not going to have any type of comeback to that. But I got you on a commercial break, homie.
All right, cool. I appreciate that, man. Anyway, Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal is having an excellent season. We're going to rank where Bradley Beal will be among. Well, he ranks this season among NBA. Dang, what? NBA shooting guards. Listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Right, you listen to the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. I mentioned before the break, Bradley Beal. He's doing a darn thing. I believe right now he's averaging 23.6 points a game. I believe he's fourth among shooting guards in scoring. Where would you rank Bradley Beal this season, not in his career, this season, amongst NBA two guards?
I think when you discuss NBA two guards, you got to start with Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Harden, one.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler. Two.
Ooh, Jimmy Butler over Bradley Beal? He's a two-way defender. Two-way player, excuse me.
Yeah.
DeRozan?
I think Bradley Beal is... DeRozan's having a good year because he's actually...
Don't forget we're talking about this season.
DeRozan's
balling this year.
DeRozan,
and then you would have to go with...
What about Oladipo? He's having... Statistically, this season, we're not talking about... What, you know, in terms of what we've seen in their careers just this season.
Oladipo takes a lot of bad shots, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's scoring a lot.
He's gunning. He's taking the template what Russell Westbrook did to him last year, doing the same thing this year.
Hey, yo, my favorite shooting guard is CJ McCollum. I think he's better than Bradley Beal. I think he can carry the load, you know, when a star is out, you know, versus Bradley Beal won't probably lead the Wizards to as many victories as a John Wall can, you know, being the primary guy. I think CJ McCollum also, you know, it's just better at creating his own shot. Sometimes Bradley Beal, I think his handle is pretty
better.
Good.
It's better.
It's better. It's improved. Improved.
It's way
it's,
better.
It's improved, but I still think that, you know.
You saw the Porzingis? Did you see what he did to Porzingis?
Yeah, it's Porzingis, though. He's tall, you know. Good defender, but when you step on the guard, you're already putting yourself in a difficult, you know, position.
Mm-hmm.
But McCollum, I think, is right up there, you know, maybe a couple spots behind James Harden, you know, somewhere between 3 and 5.
But you think McCollum? I like McCollum, so I like.
I said McCollum. Is it? It doesn't matter. McCollum doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Tomato. Okay.
I don't care. I mean, I'm not. I'm not okay. Go ahead. My bad. Dang, man. No, I like CJ McCollum, but I don't. Defensively, I think he's more of an issue. So I think
you think Bradleyville's going
to
defend.
Yeah, he's a decent defender compared to CJ McCollum.
He's a more consistent
defender. But again, that's because of his build compared to CJ McCollum. CJ McCollum has to play. McCollum has to play. He has to play two guards. He's undersized.
We're talking about this season, though. Remember you said that?
What?
Talking about this season, though. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
true that.
We're talking about this season. Your argument was based on the offensive numbers. Tell the truth.
It is always on.
That's exactly what you said. So you're going to hit. He's the better defender. You're just trying to, you know.
That's fair. You're just trying to come at me. Real talk. That's right. You're fair. That's fair. But okay, so
we talking about good defenders. You, Patrick Beverly. Let's put him in a discussion.
That's not two guards.
I'm just joking.
DeRozan is to me this season. If I'm going with two guards, this because Harden is a two guard.
Is Devin Booker a point guard?
No, Harden is a two guard.
Devin Booker's a point guard.
Yeah, Devin Booker's a two guard.
Devin Booker plays a two.
Yeah, he's probably. But I'll take Devin Booker over Bradley Beal.
Devin Booker, I put right in front of McCollum. So like I said, maybe.
So Bradley you guys Beal's have like seven guys before you.
This will be my order. This will be my order. It would be Harden. I guess I would call Harden a point,
even though he runs point two.
But he's a two guard though.
Okay.
With Chris Paul there, he's a two guard. Harden. It would be DeRozan.
Devin Booker.
Booker.
McCollum.
No, I would have McCollum on this. It would be Oladipo, then Brad.
That is a Nigerian advice.
And he's local. But you know who averages more points between the two?
Oladipo.
And who's the star of the team? And if we're looking at Indiana.
Look at that team, though.
Their roster isn't great in terms of they're over 500. So that means that Oladipo is a big reason why they're over 500. They're not a talented team. So we look at what Bradley Beal had to do without John Wall, right? He was putting up numbers, but they were still losing games they should have won.
So
answer me this question. Removing John Wall from the Wizards.
Agreed. Okay.
Who has a better team, Indiana or the Wizards? I'm gonna go with the Wizards.
I don't think Indiana has that much talent.
Oh,
I
like Sabonis.
Miles Turner.
He was out for most of the season so far. He's just came back not too long ago.
Didn't I say talent? But are we
comparing it to for what they're doing this season?
He just asked a question.
I said, take Wall away.
I'll still take the Wizards over. Okay. I'll still take the Wizards.
You think the Wizards have more talent?
I like Miles Turner. I do. Other than Miles Turner, what's a bonus? Okay, that's two.
And
Lance Stevenson?
No.
Lance Stevenson?
I'm not. No, I won't do that.
Okay, Lance Stevenson, even though he
it's because his personality. Focus, that's yeah, all it
focus
is.
Focus and temperament. He's a talented player.
I won't do that. No, I won't give you.
Okay, so who name your guys for the Wizards? Zadaransky? Zadaransky, whatever.
Kelly Oubre. We're talking about Kelly Oubre, right? Okay. Bradley Beal, right? Uh-huh. Who's the point guard? I like Mike Scott. Mike Scott's balling. Is balling, right? Am I incorrect? Isn't he balling?
Mike Scott's having a good year.
Yeah, all right. I got to think of their roster.
You got Markieff.
You got Markieff Morris.
Mm-hmm. Gortat.
Jody Meeks has been a good player.
Gortat.
Come on.
I'm not going to. One, I won't like, do. Look.
Jody Meeks is an NBA. He needs an NBA body.
Look.
I would rather have Buddy Hield on the bench.
One thing I will not mention is Gortat. I won't do that. You ain't going to do that to me.
Well, he's on the team.
I'm not going to mention
I'm just
him,
naming people on the team.
And Otto Porter. That's my dude.
Who got I don't know. Well, I think Wally has the edge in this one.
No, because
you said the Pacers all day. You got to back it up.
Yeah, I would take
who's on their roster?
Darren Collison.
I like Darren Collison. I'm not going to.
He got on his phone. He cheated.
Bogdanović.
I don't like the Bogdanović. But go ahead. He's not a bad. But that's me being. That's just me hating though.
Corey Joseph.
Who?
Corey Joseph.
He's been a lead. He's a veteran, but
a veteran. Point. I can do that.
He came from the Popovich system.
Give me
so
a backup. I can do the same thing.
Anybody who leaves Pop sucks, right? Outside of Boris Diaw.
Yeah, exactly.
Sabonis.
I mentioned Sabonis. Let's go. That's the only one I'll give you Sabonis.
Thaddeus Young.
Inconsistent. He's a journeyman.
But he's
a
journeyman.
But these aren't players. I'm not saying.
I think the Wizards got a better roster.
Nah, really.
They're both not. They're not the greatest. I'm not gonna argue like they're like it's that.
No. Hold up. Otto Porter, who's a max player. Markieff Morris, Bradley Beal, And Mike Scott. I think right there you got Indiana beat.
It's not
far. And Kelly Oubre, that's five.
Kelly Oubre, I think that puts it over the top.
Well, I'm just to our opinion.
No, I'm just saying, like, for what... No, all I'm saying is that for what Oladipo had to do without Miles Turner, right? Because I think...
Sabonis
is a bench player.
Go look it up. Miles Turner was not there. Sabonis.
He's still balling.
Averaging like 17 and 11.
He's still balling. But that's not.
I'm not mistaken.
I won't say 17. I don't know 17. I know he's balling. I don't know the stat, but I know he was balling. But all I'm saying is that it's not that thorough for Oladipo.
I'm not acting like. Look, Indiana has a great team, but I'm just. You take John Wall off of the
Wizards. The Wizards aren't that good. I will agree with you that without John Wall, the Wizards aren't that great. They're not a playoff team without John Wall, even with Bradley Beal being one of the better two guards in basketball right now. But I have Bradley Beal like five. Did I say five? Like five, pretty much?
Yeah, that's...
I'm about five. And I think that's nothing to be ashamed of. This season, he's an all-star, right?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't mention... Well, like I said, meet Jimmy Butler. He's playing.
Yeah, I haven't... Yeah, Jimmy Butler is... Jimmy Butler, I guess that's fair. I can't argue that.
One of those guys that's like you thought last year he maxed out as his potential, but he's taking it.
You think he's taking it to another level?
I think from a leadership standpoint, being such a young team, and then also his play on both ends.
I'm gonna put it this way: the coach allows Jimmy Butler to be the face of that team. Well, I feel like he's making him the face of that team.
Absolutely,
and it should be Karl Anthony Towns, but that's a whole different argument. Are you about to find another one? We about to go to break?
No, when you're ready, sorry.
No, you can knock it off. We can go to break. Because, you know, like, again.
Monte Ellis, you've fallen off. Sorry, buddy.
You said what?
Monte Ellis has fallen off.
What is he? He's in Indiana
too? Yeah, he wasn't even mentioned. I was waiting for Will to say Monte Ellis, and he never said it. And I was like, all right, well, maybe Will overlooked him. But maybe he's just falling off.
I don't think he's on Indiana.
He's not there anymore.
He's on the Pacers. Trajan Langdon works for the Pacers.
Does he still work for the Pacers? He does.
Anyway. Thankfully, Wally didn't take a picture with him. All right.
All right. The NFL playoffs started over the weekend. What will the Washington Redskins need to do to be in the playoffs next season? We'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
New Wally.
All right, come on, y'all. Let's sing it. All right.
You don't know me. All right, it's about time to come back from break now, right? We're good. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. You know, I did my little remixing. I felt like DJ Nigerian, whatever, on the ones and twos. You know how we do it. Oladipo, what's good, bruh? My man, my Nigerian brother. Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. Mentioned before the break, the Washington Redskins. They're not in the playoffs, obviously. And you got a bunch of teams that are in the playoffs. So what can this team do, or what can they add to be a postseason team next season?
I mean, where do you start? A running back, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Probably two wide receivers. You need at least two wide receivers. Then there's an interesting question at tight end. Can you continue to
trust Jay Reed?
Jordan Reed. Not just from an injury standpoint, but when he's in and you try to run the ball. He doesn't block at all. So do you stick him in the slot? Do you make him exclusively a guy that plays off the line of scrimmage?
Do you sign a tight end who can actually block to play alongside him?
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
And then we haven't even got to the other side of the ball. You need to re-sign Zach Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to ask yourself the hard question. Josh Norman. Is
he worth that money?
He worth the money. Is that money an asset that we can deploy in other areas to upgrade this team?
No, these are all valid points. For me, number one, this team should move to a 4-3. The personnel isn't suited to run a 3-4. You don't have an outside linebacker with the quickness to kind of, to create havoc. I mean, Ryan Kerrigan's a guy that, you know, can, you know, it's a 10 sack guy. There's no knock on Ryan Kerrigan, but it's not like a guy that, they don't have a guy like is smooth like a Von Miller. And I know that's extreme, but you know what I mean, like
consistent, a guy that's a always big pass rusher, always that you can line up anywhere
and get pressure, you know. And Ryan Kerrigan had a good year this year. He's a Pro Bowler, but it's not a knock on him. It's just that I feel like he'd be better suited being a 4-3 defensive end rather than a 3-4 outside linebacker. And then it helps out a little bit with depth in the inside with because you're gonna have Jonathan Allen back. You got Matt Ioannidis. You're probably gonna have Phil Taylor come back for you for the season. So you can do a lot more inside. You don't have to worry about having a predominant nose tackle or whatnot. You can run a basic 4-3 set. So they're gonna have to, in my opinion, either, you know, re-sign Zach Brown. That's important. If they go 4-3, get either a Sam or a Will linebacker in a draft. Or move Ryan Anderson in one of those slots. But I feel like defensively, they got to start focusing on the defense side of the ball. And starting with that, go to a 4-3. You good, Ray Deasy?
You need to add better team speed and someone that's more explosive. You need explosive, like guys that are playmakers that can get the ball in their hands. And
like Deshaun Jackson?
Yes, essentially.
Yeah, I think I feel like, and also that's a good point because
I think the what's his name, Chris Thompson, is the only guy on that offense
Doxson has the potential.
He's not explosive. I mean, I know it.
Just look at the way he jumps and the height in which he jumps. His vertical leap is amazing.
If you look at him jump and you take and you, you know, don't look at the uniform colors, it looks kind of like
Larry Fitzgerald, yeah.
Agreed. Jumping up, yeah, jump ball.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got bounce. I mean, I feel like they can get, like I believe Sammy Watkins Jr., he's a guy that's a free agent after this season, an explosive wide receiver. That's a guy they just need in this offense because, you know, losing Deshaun Jackson, they lost that threat of a guy who can, you know, make defenses worry over the top. You get Sammy Watkins Jr., you can kind of fulfill that. And he probably wouldn't be that expensive. Because this season, even with the success of the LA Rams, he still didn't put up gaudy numbers.
Well, let me ask you two, since you guys are the media and you actually attend the games there, do you think that the whole impending Kirk Cousins not being signed long term, do you think that has some type, does it,
a
you
trickle
know,
down effect?
Attribute to anything that's going on in the locker room or around the team, the uncertainty at quarterback, because you think a quarterback is your captain.
Nah, because I think that, you know, a lot of things haven't been put out there, but I've always stated this from the beginning, like even before everybody, you know, everybody wants to say like Kirk Cousins and Jake Gruden are to the hip, Jake Gruden fights for Kirk Cousins. I don't think Kirk Cousins is Jake Gruden's quarterback, and it's not a knock on Kirk Cousins. I think the way people have to understand that, but between Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III, yes, Kirk Cousins was Jay Gruden's quarterback. That's comparing those two. But ideally, I think that Jay Gruden, his quarterback, is probably on a different roster or in the draft. And I think, you know, if he believes that he can make his offense work, let him pick the quarterback. But that's why I don't think that there's any, you know, divisiveness within the organization when it comes to Kirk Cousins, because I think people already know what they stand at when it comes to Kirk Cousins.
I totally agree. I would love to debate you, but I can't. And to me, Jay Gruden recently coming out and saying we're 7-9. Kirk, yeah. You know, Kirk played pretty well, but we're 7-9.
Yeah.
That goes to show you how he feels.
Yeah.
I'm glad he was honest That's important when the team moves on from Kirk Cousins. So they say, we're not going to spend that type of money. Let's go get Jay's guy. Yeah. And he's going to be cheaper, and we can have. I mean, come on now. What did Lex say earlier, Wally? I'd rather go out 7-9 with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Because Lamar Jackson probably in his first year could help the team. Look at what Deshaun Watson did in his first year. Running quarterbacks, a lot of times teams got to figure them out depending on their skill level. Lamar Jackson is one of those guys I think can have success in his rookie season. But that's just one guy in a draft that is supposed to be deep according to the quote unquote experts. Now, two other guys in the media who we listen to, Todd McShay and Mel Kiper. These guys are saying that this is one of the best quarterback drafts in how long? Many years, right?
Yeah, but I think it's kind of
overhyped.
It's a bit overhyped a little bit. I think the guys.
Who do you listen to? Mike McCoy, right? That's your man. Mike Mayock or whatever.
Mayock. That's Mayock. My guy. That's my guy.
Look, here you go.
That's y'all boy. Y'all like him. Now, he says it.
Look, see how he doing?
Says the same thing. Go ahead. What was he going to say? That's my guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike Mayock. That's my guy.
Talking to Mike.
Mike Mayock. That's my guy. I know what you're trying to do.
I'm messing with him.
I know what you do, Mike Mayock. That's my guy. Usually, when Mike Mayock when he analyzes a player, he's very accurate.
Ain't he? He's accurate. See what I'm talking about, bro?
Because he's a real analyst. Real talk. To me, Mel Kiper is a good scout of talent, but he also is he's an entertainer. He's got a big arm. He said the same thing about so many different guys. Although he was so right about Carson Wentz, though. He was on Carson Wentz from day one. He really was.
But it goes to it like, it's just like Kurt, like you just don't like, I feel like this organization understands everything about the Kirk Cousins situation. I think outside, you have people kind of picking their favorites, saying Kurt's our guy, we want him here outside of this organization. But inside, they pretty much know, and Kurt pretty much knows. And does Kirk Cousins want to really be here?
I mean, allegedly he's waiting for an answer from God.
He said that last year. You talking about he said that again?
Yeah, that's what he said.
The Denver Broncos are ready to give him money. All reports are ready to pay for Kirk
Alex
Cousins.
Smith will be available.
Some quarter.
Alex Smith, that's a guy. That's a good bridge guy.
Yeah. He's right though. I mean, think about what's seven and nine. Like in the grand scheme of things, what are you worried about with 7-9?
I mean, just like I don't know what people were so excited about potentially going 8-8 here, having three non-losing
seasons. Real talk. Yeah. What's 7-9? What's 8-8? And if your goal is to be successful, what is that?
I think it's growth. As an Atlanta fan, when Atlanta went 9-7 the year they didn't make the playoffs, it still was back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in forever. So it's important when you can look at your team and say, all right, we have made some progress. I do think that they also show, so much potential in games against like the Saints, which they had that game.
They beat
the Rams. They showed that they could have been a playoff team, man. It just injuries and a few coaching errors that I believe prevented them from doing.
I'll go a step further. I think if I'm a fan of the 49ers, I would take their 6-10 versus Washington's 7-9. I would be more encouraged as a 49ers fan with their 6-10. Going into next year, then opposed to a Washington fan with their 7-9.
That's crazy.
I kind of agree with that though.
Because I'm telling you, the NFL studies guys, man, they're going to know how to better match up against Jimmy Garoppolo.
But you know what? We haven't seen anyone in the NFL really do shut down Kyle Shanahan's offense.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, we'll talk about the AFC divisional playoff games after break. You listen to the Urban Sports Team
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Sports team, myself, Wally, Real T, Ray. You put it on for our city. Come on, Real T. I put on for my city. I put on for my city.
Hit the Jay-Z part.
I'm good.
I put Mossy on my back.
I'm good.
All right, on Saturday, the Tennessee Titans travel up to Gillette Stadium to take on the New England Patriots. Do they have a chance? Is that even a good matchup for the Tennessee Titans?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm looking at somebody.
No, I was gonna let you. I
did the read. Somebody got.
This is not even worth discussing. It really isn't. There's no Music City Miracle that's going to occur. I'm glad they got a playoff win, but yeah.
They beat Alex Smith, right?
The road stops here.
Because they beat
Alex Marcus Smith. Mariota got a playoff win.
Before Jameis Winston.
And the Alabama quarterback, Tua, went to the same high school in Hawaii.
Oh, for real?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know that.
Fact.
Fun fact.
No, I think that Jimmy Chang's gonna come out of retirement now, man. Cole Brennan, Hawaii is back, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's what we do. But Marcus Mariota, yeah, he won a playoff game, but it's over. He's going to Belichick's. You know, he's going to Belichick's house now.
I agree with Wade. Agree with Ray. No, I think this is gonna be ugly. I think it's gonna be something like 31-13.
It should be ugly.
I think it's going to be.
If Jeff Fisher was there, Will, it might be different, though. You never know with Jeff Fisher, man.
Tennessee doesn't have the defense to even compete with New England.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just not even.
It's laughable. I'm not saying
Tennessee doesn't have the playmakers on the outside.
Yeah.
Put it this
way. I do like the rookie, though.
It might be ugly. Remember the whole Deflategate game against the Colts? The Patriots, I mean, they beat them mercilessly. Now, that could happen. Or they could just flat out, you know, beat them. I guess not flat out beat them, but they could beat them in a low scoring game, or it could be a close game. But the point is, everybody knows that the Titans can't win this game. They cannot win.
It's impossible.
Even if Brady got hurt in the first quarter, he still couldn't win.
You know, I want to see if in this game, because obviously they're the underdogs, I want to see if they let Mariota, you know, play the style he played in college, where he was super successful. And when he was successful, even against in the Kansas City game, out of the shotgun, you know, playing his style of football, no huddle and whatnot. You saw what he got to do against Kansas City. So I want to see if they would do that against New England, because they're like I'm with you too. Like, really, in all honesty, going there, just, you know, playing regular football, it won't work beating New England Patriots with that roster. And honestly, it's what's name going to play? He didn't play last week. The other running back who played for the Cowboys.
DeMarco Murray.
Is he going to play this week?
Well, he's day-to-day so far this week.
If I was going against my argument, I would just run the ball, football, just try to keep it away from Tom Brady. I'll play a ball control game, too.
But this is the thing, though. What does Belichick do best? He takes away your strength.
That's the problem.
So he's going to stop the run, and he's going to make Marcus Mariota throw the ball outside of the numbers.
So give me your score. You said what, Will?
31-13.
Right.
I'm going to go 38-10.
I feel like 40 is disrespectful, but I feel like it should be a 40-point game. 41-17. Yeah, then I'm going to go with that. Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Team with myself, Wally, Will, and Ray. On Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can the Jaguars repeat what they did in the regular season to the Steelers?
Absolutely not. If Antonio Brown, well, Antonio Brown, he played the last time, but I think with Antonio, you give Mike Tomlin and his staff an extra week to prepare for Jacksonville, then I don't know if anyone watched that Jacksonville game, but Blake Bortles was abysmal.
You mean against the
against the Buffalo?
The playoff game? I didn't watch
it. Yeah, that was a good defensive game, though. I feel like that was an entertaining game. I know a lot of people, critics were saying that was...
I missed it. Was he bad?
I saw a stat. He missed some throws, yes, but Buffalo's defense came to play. They approached it like a playoff game, man. It was fun to watch a defensive battle.
But they don't
like that.
They don't have that many outside threats, though, right? They got Marquise Lee.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Jacksonville had D.D. Westbrook. They have the rookie Cole. So they have some.
They got Marquise Lee play too.
I don't know if he's.
He was injured.
I think he's going to. He may be out.
He was out. He had like 89 yards rushing, right?
Yeah, he had some long runs.
He had 89 yards rushing, and I think he had 87 yards passing.
That's bad.
But the thing was, did you look at Tyrod Taylor's numbers? Again, his weren't good either.
He was struggling.
Because, again, it was a great defensive battle, man. It was awesome to watch. I wanted Buffalo to win just because, you know, I felt like they were the better team. Not the better team, but I felt like they were the better story going into the game.
So you don't think playing against the Steelers that Jacksonville defense can put, you know, could be a problem for Big Ben? I mean, 5 interceptions. I'm not going to say he's going to throw 5 interceptions.
I'm hoping that Bortles will approach this game just, you know, by the way, as if you have nothing to lose. Just go and let it all, you know, let it all, put it all out there, you know. Why not?
How do you expect Antonio Brown to play? It's going to be his first game back.
I think he's going to be just himself.
I think he's going to be himself. It's going to be interesting to see him.
On Jalen?
Yeah.
Ramsey and...
And Boye.
They balling. They are balling.
Both of them are all pro.
They are balling. And their closing speed is real. They could pick up... Ben's going to throw some picks, I think.
Oh, yeah, he'll throw some picks in this game. He will.
I mean, he'll throw some picks.
And
but
that
I
might
also,
make the difference.
But I also think that they're going to take some pressure off him by running the ball and... using Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield.
Pittsburgh's defense versus Jacksonville's defense. Who's better?
Jacksonville's.
See, yeah. What I'm saying, man. I think it's going to be a problem, especially because Shazer is out. You know, because I mean, I'm glad he's got.
It comes down
I'm glad
to
he got motion in his legs. I'm glad he got motion in his legs, but movement in his legs. But like that Steelers defense isn't even the same without that kid. And then you're going against the Jacksonville running attack, which did well against you, you know, in Hinesville, you know, in the regular season. I mean, you're going to have Leonard Fournette, you're going to have Chris Ivory. That, I mean, you can kind of take the pressure off of Bortles if you can, especially with that defense.
I mean, you guys are making a compelling argument, but just the way that Blake Bortles that offense looked last week,
it must have looked really bad for you.
Man, it was terrible. It was terrible, man.
All right, give me a prediction. Give me a prediction. Will T, score.
I'm taking the Steelers 17-14.
Okay. You do have a close game, though.
Yes, very close game.
Right.
I'm going to take the Jags. I'll take Jacksonville 20-17.
Okay.
Was that the same score you just said?
No, he said 17-14.
I said 17-14.
Oh, okay, I'll take the Jags 20-17. Even though, you know, I want to see the Pittsburgh New England matchup, I just think Jacksonville looks like a team that with that type of defense, anything can happen.
Yeah, I want to take Jacksonville bad.
And Fournette had a game against the Steelers, and that was
what you guys are failing to take into account is yes, Big Ben threw 5 picks last game, but. Blake Bortles can also throw.
If you look at the stats, Blake Bortles didn't play good that game either. So I'm not going to like.
No, he didn't play good against Fournette ball, though.
Yeah, Fournette ball. Something about. Oh,
again,
man.
It comes down to coaching, man. Mike Tomlin sometimes makes your head, he makes you scratch your head with some of the decisions he makes.
He does. He really does.
You never know. I'm all in on Pittsburgh, you know, threatening the Patriots, but I just want to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars because I think they can do this with that defense.
I feel like I like what Jacksonville represents. It's like not putting big importance on the quarterback play, which everybody's doing now. Solid defense, great running game. I just feel like I love that formula. I'm gonna go with Jacksonville. It's because Pittsburgh scores. I'm gonna go with 2017. Jacksonville 2017 upset. I think I'm gonna do it. I don't think they can score 20.
If you saw it last week,
saying the same score?
2017.
Yeah, the same thing I just said.
Yeah, because I just think I don't think Jacksonville. Yeah, 2017. I'm gonna go 2017. And I think Big Ben is going. I think Jalen Ramsey gets one pick and takes it to the house. I think he takes a pick to the house. I think that's how they. I think Jacksonville scores a defensive touchdown. Put it that way. They scored defensive touchdown. All right, man. When we get back from break, we'll discuss the NFC divisional playoffs after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Deals
get
$2 medium latte from
medium latte? Looks like it's roll with it.
Technical difficulties. Just what it is.
With a $2 medium latte from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will, and Ray. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And also check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have our NFL Pick'em Challenge. Well, we did have our NFL Pick'em Challenge during the regular season. Speaking of our Pick'em Challenge, guess who won it all this season? Because me.
How'd that happen?
Because we didn't pick the last, week. He sent us a text, and I was asleep. I didn't get it in the game.
You know what happens, son. You know the rules.
He sent his picks out.
I can actually make a more compelling case that everyone should have gone 0-13.
Go ahead. 0-16?
Yeah.
0-16, go ahead. Make a compelling case.
Okay, so.
I'm all fair. I'm all in fairness.
No, so when are picks due?
Before the game.
When are picks due?
Never really had it. I never had it. Never had.
Yes, we have.
What is it?
What is it?
Tuesday, 8 o'clock. Yes, because you
should have been a lawyer.
No, you've always said
after the week, after Tuesday, we didn't have a show. I'm trying to figure this out.
No. You did say that his picks were locked. We tried to change it that one time.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely. So I mean, there is overwhelming evidence that everyone should have gone.
We lost. Will, because I got screwed last year, and there's no set schedule. Right. Even though you're right, I'm agreeing with
that's
you.
That's a good point, though.
No, I mean, that is an excellent point.
He was just trying to be stupid. Evidence. That's all it was.
That was
not only did he say, you know, can I get your picks? He sent his on the text. Like, here am I. And he only won by one game.
You know what?
Even though we didn't pick no games, he won by one game.
Real talk, I like your credit when credit's due. That's a great argument. Honestly.
I mean, there's a more compelling argument that everyone should have lost every game.
I was a co-counsel, though.
I mean, but I'm not. It's but not, you know what? Congratulations. You won.
Hey, you got it, man.
I don't care.
The first year. This is the first year. Wally.
Why
are
you calling me Wade?
It's a combination of Wally and
Wade. Right? That's what you guys are. Wait. That's what I'm referring to you both as. Wait.
What's going on?
All right, we're going to come out with our own protein because you know we in the gym. Whey protein, baby. What are you talking about?
Whey.
It's more of a compelling argument that everybody should have.
I like it, though. You know what? I respect that. You know, I respect
Whey. But, no, congratulations. You won by, what was it, one game?
1 point, man. You know, all teams play hard, man. Quote my man, Rasheed Wallace, one of the most intelligent individuals ever. But Saturday. In the NFC divisional game, the Atlanta Falcons race team will travel to Philly to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. How can the Eagles defeat the Falcons without Carson Wentz?
It's going to take improved play from Nick Foles. It's going to take Doug Peterson to call the game differently than he has in the past, two and a half games that Nick Foles has been the quarterback. Uh-huh. And it's going to take that defensive front, because they don't like to blitz a lot, to bring consistent pressure on Matt Ryan to get Matt Ryan off of his space, make him move around in the pocket and make plays with his legs and his arm or throw the ball under duress.
That's the bonus thing. That's the thing they do have going for him is that front seven.
Yeah, that front four can get pressure, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to bring a blitz from anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now I know there's no Robbie Tobeck's Harvey Dahl is one of the nastiest linemen that Atlanta's had in recent memory. I even like Sam Baker on that line of, you know, Ephraim Salam. Atlanta, to me, has had a consistent play at the offensive line for years. At the times where Mike Smith's team struggled a couple seasons ago, that's where, you know, the team was lacking at the offensive line position. That's why they upgraded when they drafted Jake Matthews. Anyway, the offensive line is playing well. If you saw Alex Mack in that game, first of all, he carried Devontae Freeman in the end zone because Devontae Freeman, sure enough, wasn't there. But having to go against one of the best pass rushers in the league, you know, I think that the Falcons showed, even though they had difficulty containing Donald, I think they showed that they're up to the task. And Matt Ryan is such a smart quarterback, and he knows how to audible. He knows how to be that Peyton Manning type of coach on the field. I think he's, you know, more than ready to face what the Eagles have, with that strong front seven. The key is, in the beginning of the game, when emotions are running high and the Eagles defense has, you know, that, you know, burst of energy that will wear off as the game goes on, mm-hmm. You know, they have to weather that storm. If you let Nick Foles, you know, score, you can't let the Eagles, I think, get more than a 10-point lead, because then you're in trouble against that defense who will have momentum. So Atlanta's going to have to make sure they keep the score low, or, you know, Atlanta may have to jump out in front. But again, we're talking about Nick Foles, who I think is not necessarily prepared for this moment based on the limited playing time he's had.
It's going to be tough. I mean, Nick Foles against the Cowboys had like an atrocious game, right?
And Atlanta's pass rush is real. Claiborne, Vic Beasley.
I like the secondary player from Atlanta. I think Alford, right?
Alford played a good game this past week. He scares me.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of Ricardo Allen. I'm really not, even though he's gotten better every year. But to me, he's one that can get beat.
There are two matchups that if I'm Philadelphia, I'm looking.
But they tackled well.
Might be Ricardo Allen.
That's what scares
me. Zachers versus Ricardo Allen.
Zachers is a beast. He's a beast.
A wild card for Philadelphia. You don't know how Nelson Aguilar will play. Because Nelson Aguilar has had some big games.
He's been good.
He's come out of nowhere.
He's been really good this year.
With Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he made a couple of big plays, and he made that big play against the Rams when Nick Foles was in the one to convert for a first down. But I think those are two matchups that if you're Philadelphia, you have the ball, you have to look to get in the ball to Zach.
I'm not concerned about the receivers, to be honest. I'm more so concerned about Ajayi.
Alshon Jeffrey's own.
To me, he has a hard time getting open, if you ask me.
He just catch, though. His catch radius is crazy, though.
Yeah, his catch radius.
But again, if you look at the way Atlanta covers, he's not going to be open.
I don't expect him to be on his catch radius. He's never really open. I mean, he doesn't have to be open to get the ball. Put it that way. He's that kind of.
Now, I think Atlanta's just that good on defense.
I can tell you, speaking like a fan, like that good on defense.
Right now they're playing well defensively. The secondary.
No, I like how they play.
Secondary has been a strength, you know, for the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not having Trufant on that Super Bowl made a difference, and that's kind of why I'm excited. I feel like they'll get this Philly game, and then they'll go break the hearts of the Vikings one more time.
Deion Jones.
Yeah. Deion Jones, he's a linebacker. That's what I'm saying. He's not a safety. That's why I was like, safety. Deion Jones is pretty good in coverage.
Okay.
I mean, Zach Ertz is a beast, though. So I think that. But so give me a score of that game.
This is a tough one. No, I mean, because Philadelphia.
It's
going to
be a close
home.
Game. It's going to be a close game. It won't be a blowout.
Even though I know that Atlanta is the betting favorite.
Yeah.
20-17 overtime win by the Eagles.
Oh wow, Eagles victory, right? Give me a score.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but I think Atlanta takes this one 24-20.
Dang, you took my score, jerk. Give me Atlanta. I'll go cuz I don't think they'll score. Eagles defense is good at home. I'm going to go with the Atlanta.
It's not about that.
I will.
You turn the ball over. I go Atlanta, it's foul field position.
I'm going to give it Atlanta 20, Eagles 10.
Atlanta has one of the best kickers in the league, too.
Eagles, yeah, both got good kickers. That kid, the Eagles guy's a good kicker, too. Made like a 60-something yard kick. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a competitive game. I know that. 20-10, Atlanta.
I think this is going to be the best. I think the Vikings Saints are going to be the best.
No, game. I think this game will be more competitive than the Vikings and Saints. But you segue right into it. Vikings Saints. What do you. Do you think that the Vikings defense can stop the Saints offense?
I mean, it's strength versus strength.
Exactly, right?
The Saints offense versus the Vikings defense. There's a couple wild cards being that the Vikings offense has looked very competent. You also have, you know, Adam Thielen, who's an all-pro. Uh-huh. Stephon Diggs has played great. Kyle Rudolph. Then they have the two running backs. Uh-huh. And Case Keenum looks like he having a season kind of like Kurt Warner when Kurt Warner took that team to the Super Bowl.
So do you believe in Case Keenum? That's the thing. Does anybody really believe that he can play well in the postseason?
I believe that Pat Shurmur will put him in the best position to be successful. Yes, so I believe in Case Keenum.
I think that, yeah, which
Drew Brees is not the same guy on the road, and that environment is
it's gonna be
one
different.
That's difficult to win in, man, against that really good defense. That's why I give the Vikings the edge. And then New Orleans defense does not play as well when Drew Brees is not functioning at a high level.
And this is the thing. We saw even though, you know, Adrian Peterson was on the team, and that's what they blamed it on, but we saw it in that Monday night game with that front seven can do to a Drew Brees. And then you put your best cornerback, Xavier Rhodes, on their best wide receiver, Michael Thomas. That's going to be hard for Michael Thomas to get open. And then you're going to look at the speed with that linebacking core and Barr. Who am I forgetting? Barr? Who else is it? It's Barr. There's another one.
Kendricks.
Barr and Kendricks. How fast those two are. And then you got the safety play. They're just deep all the way around. Harrison Smith. It's a good matchup against a New Orleans Saints team. And if they take away, if they stop the run, Drew Brees is in trouble.
And like this they is stop, what you they're, see they're in trouble. when you look at New Orleans. Mm. Ted Ginn had a big catch, which he does on and off throughout the season.
Yeah,
watch Ted Ginn's gonna be quiet this week.
And then add on to that.
But I love Alvin Kamara though. He's a difference maker.
Yeah, because Lattimore will probably be on Thielen, right? Stephon Diggs is gonna eat. Like, he's going to eat. One of them dudes, whoever Lattimore is not on, is going to eat.
Yeah, I mean, well, they line Lattimore up in the slot more often. So yeah. I think Lattimore is going to match up against Diggs.
Yeah, so someone's going to eat. One of them is going to eat. That's going to be an issue. But anyway, it's about time to wrap the show up, fellas. Oh, but sorry, before I do that, prediction of the game. score. Give me a score.
Minnesota 28, Saints 17.
I don't know if it's going to be that high scoring, but I'll take Minnesota. I'll take them 27 to Saints 17.
Give me Minnesota 30, Saints 13. 30 to 13. It won't be close, to my opinion. All right, man. Anyway, thanks for y'all listening to the show. You've been listening to Urban Sports Safe for ages.
You dig? Deuces. Cloud 9.